Long had Edward courted his sweetheart, Jane, and finally their much-anticipated wedding day arrived. That Christmas Eve, the snow fell thick across the rolling fields of Winchester, blanketing all in spectral silence and sending a shudder through Edward Maybury as he raced his youthful bride home. But this was the most precious moment in his life, and he would not allow an ill whim to ruin it. When in sight of Marwell Hall, Edward reined in his steed to allow Jane to pass him by and reach the hall first. As she dismounted, smiling triumphantly back at him, Edward cherished the grace and spirit which had won his heart, and his mood lifted. He rushed down the embankment to greet their wedding guests, whose coach and horses were just turning into the courtyard. They entered the hall, and the marriage festivities began. That wintry evening, Marwell Hall came alive to the sounds of gaiety ushering down its darkened passageways and empty rooms. In the drawing room, which burst with light and laughter, the guests took the full measure of their host's hospitality and ate and drank and danced well into the night. As the hour approached midnight, Jane grew weary of the conversation, which seemed to invariably drift towards Edward's business affairs. Seizing on a lull in the proceedings, she gathered everyone together for a game of hide-and-seek. After all, it was the tradition of the day for a newlywed wife to hide from her husband, who, with the aid of other players, had to find his spouse and receive from her a kiss as his prize. As the long, slow count to 100 started, Edward cast a wistful glance in the direction of his departing wife, and then she was gone. Jane, still a little giddy from the wine, wasted no time in seeking a hiding place. As her eyes grew more accustomed to the dark, she caught glimpses of the house in which she and her dear Edward would spend the rest of their lives. She made a mental note to persuade her husband to throw away some of the ghastly old portraits whose eyes roamed along the main corridor through which she was now moving. When, at last, she came to the end of the passage, she stopped to catch her breath and removed from a seam on her dress a sprig of mistletoe with which to surprise her beloved. Clutching it tightly in her small hand, she moved on as the sound of her friends' voices approached. Outside, the snow continued to fall, and as the moon arced across the sky, the windowed chamber in which Jane found herself was suddenly bathed in an eerie silver glow, revealing a door she had never really noticed in her previous visits to the house. Finding it unlocked, she entered, closed it behind her, and proceeded excitedly up a narrow, twisting staircase which came to a tiny door. Fingers of light escaped from beneath the doorway, and Jane guessed that this must be the attic where Edward kept his own secrets. But the bolts were hefty, and it took all her strength to slide them free. The attic was damp and dusty and cold, lit only by weak shafts of moonlight filtering through the grimy skylight. Scattered about Jane were the tattered remains of Edward's past, boxes filled with childhood memories and dreadful furniture thankfully left up here. But best of all, there were plenty of places to hide. In the corner of the room, illuminated by a single strand of light, was a large oak chest which intrigued Jane. She was in luck. The chest was empty, aside from some cobwebs which were easily brushed aside. She had found her secret place, and climbed eagerly inside, bringing the weighty lid down after her. It clanked shut. Inside the chest all was darkness, and dust which filled her nostrils and mouth. Lying there in the airless quiet, she had not realized how tired she had grown after the evening's excitement and wine, and her limbs grew unaccountably heavy. The princess fell asleep. Her prince would soon come. Jane awoke in a sweat, not knowing how much time had passed inside the chest. It was intolerably hot now, and she longed for the cool air outside. She gasped for breath. Where were they? Surely they should have tried the attic by now. This wasn't fun anymore, and she decided to leave the box, but the lid would not open. Try as she might, with all the force she could muster, the lid would not open. It was then that the appalling dread struck her. The catch must have snapped shut when the lid slammed down. Fear squirmed in her throat. Jane screamed for help, clawing wildly at the inside of the lid, but her weakened voice broke into rasping sobs, and she tore her nails away from her fingers, now raw and splintered. Exhausted, she lay back, clutching the mistletoe to her breast. Edward searched for his love for 3 days, desperately combing the house and grounds, not daring to stop for food or rest. Yet his wife was never found. His friends tried in vain to argue that Jane was young and unsure and had run away on their wedding night, but he refused to listen. In his heart of hearts, he knew Jane would not abandon him. A fever gripped his mind, and he took to imagining a vision of his wife as he last saw her, full of life and vigor. Such was his grief that he took his own life with poison and was buried in the churchyard where he had been married barely a month earlier. Years later, a rotting wooden chest was uncovered in the attic of Marwell Hall, its lock rusted shut. Those who had made the discovery forced open the lid in expectation of hidden riches, but found only death and horror. A skeletal figure, still swaddled in a raggedy wedding gown, lay inside, a sprig of mistletoe resting by her side.